From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we return today to our study of the life of Christ, looking particularly this week at the Sermon on the Mount. We trust you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as we spend time together around the Word of God. We start with our hot topic or our daily commentary, Certain About the Unknown. A noted syndicated columnist recently wrote a column with an arresting title about the still-distant New Hampshire primary. I'm not interested in her political prognostications, just her chosen title, which was Certain About the Unknown. There are many things that deeply concern us and that come under the umbrella of the unknown. When you stop to think of it, we know very little about ourselves or others or the world around us. And yet, for Christians, this is not a confession of despair or frustration, for we are certain about everything that really matters. Let's consider this for a moment. What lies before us in this life is unknown to us. How long we may live and what sufferings we may be called upon to bear, these and a million other daily circumstances lie shrouded from our view. But we know certain things about them. Christianity is a message of certainty. We know that God is. We know that we are not governed by blind fate and that our lives are not subject to impersonal, unintelligent forces or random occurrence. We know that God has an eternal purpose and that He is working all things after the counsel of His own will. We don't know how long we will live, or when we will die. But He does. And we know that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He will be with us and will comfort us with His word and His grace. Also, we know what will happen to us after death, for He has assured us that when we leave this world, we will go to be with Christ, which is far better. We don't know how the course of current events will work out, but He does. For He's doing the working out, using even the self-determined actions of His enemies to further His sovereign plan. We know that all is working toward His ordained consummation, and that at precisely the proper moment, the Lord Jesus Christ will come again in power and great glory. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So there are many things about the future that we don't know, but we know that our Father knows. Therefore, the bottom line is, and this is something we do know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, even to them that are called according to His purpose. All around us, the world lies in darkness. In fact, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But our Savior said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Of all who live on this planet, God's blood-washed people alone can be certain about the unknown. As the old hymn says, I know not what the future holds. But I know who holds the future, and I know He holds my hand. Happily, then, Christians are certain about the unknown.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou the Mount Calvary, Savior divine. Now here around me spread. Be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn today white sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside.
May thy
rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. Oh, as thou hast died for me, a living fire. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Comes to you from Greenville, South Carolina, but we have churches in various parts of the United States and Canada, and we come to you on behalf of all of them. Some of you have written to say that you've enjoyed the ministry. You ask for CDs or tapes or some of the literature that we mention here on the broadcast. Some of you have also written to say that you would like to have a Free Presbyterian witness in your area. We can't promise to be able to send a preacher to all who ask, but we are interested in helping you if we can, and in hearing from those who have a desire to take a stand for God and the old gospel in a day of apostasy. So we would be delighted to hear from you if you think we can be of assistance to you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. time now to return to our study of the Sermon on the Mount. I've been pointing out how the Lord Jesus preached as one who knew God and as one who knew man. He gives us a description of his people as a happy people. And that's where we're going to pick up today's sermon, as we look at this characteristic and how the Lord Jesus goes about to show how these people are blessed or happy. So now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. The characteristic that overrides everything else about true believers is subjects of the kingdom of God, according to these words of the Lord Jesus. They are a happy people. Why shouldn't they be? Why shouldn't they be? I wish I could remember how Ken Connolly put it exactly when he was here. When he was in the airport and somebody wished him a good day and a happy day, and he told them, well, why shouldn't I be happy? God is my Father. Christ is my Savior. The Holy Spirit indwells me. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to heaven. Why should I not be happy? They're happy people. I was challenged to read about a man that we don't think of as an evangelical Christian. In fact, he was a leader of the High Anglican Party in the Church of England. He was what was called a Tractarian. He was half Roman. And I'm talking about E.B. Pusey. Don't want to talk too much about Pusey, but strange thing for all that, his commentary in Daniel was one of the great standards against liberalism and rationalism. But Pusey had a rule for himself in life. And he lived by it. This challenges me, because I have to confess I haven't lived by it. Busey said, I will never complain about what God sends. If it rains, I have no complaint. If it snows, I have no complaint. If the wind blows, I have no complaint. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord hath made. And the circumstances that God sends me, I'm going to accept them because God has sent them. They're sent by a Father's hand. And if I don't understand them and they hurt the flesh, it's still for my good. And I'm going to rejoice in the Lord who sent these things, even if the things themselves are difficult to bear. A happy people. Are you happy this morning? Has the awesome reality of your salvation got such a grip of how you think that it's governing how you feel? That it's overruling the circumstances of life? That it's overruling all the things that in themselves, if you dealt with them in isolation, would drive you to distraction? Is the truth of the gospel really gripping your heart to such an extent that it is shedding its light to chase away those shadows? Are you a happy Christian this morning? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? We often say that you can't buy happiness. Money doesn't make you happy. Good health doesn't make you happy. All those things, no thing can make you happy. We often say that. But the reality is, we fly in the face of God and we forget the joy of salvation when we don't have these things. Jesus says, the character of these people is they're happy. Now you'll notice how he describes them. They're poor in spirit. They mourn. You get the irony there. We'll deal with that a little in a minute. Blessed, happy are the mourners. More than a little irony there. But you've got all these descriptions of their character. Can I make it clear to you that these people don't become subjects of the kingdom because they're poor in spirit, because they mourn, because they're meek, because they hunger and thirst, because they're merciful, and because they're pure in heart, etc. No, no. Rather, these are the things that the subjects of the kingdom who become subjects in another way, these are the things that characterize them. In other words, they are the result of their being subjects of the kingdom. They are not the cause. For example, in chapter 6, verse 33, the Lord Jesus speaks about seeking the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. In chapter 7, verse 12, he speaks about entering into the kingdom. Now, in all of Scripture, and I realize I'm mixing metaphor somewhat here, but in all of Scripture, there's only one entrance into life. Jesus said, I am the door. Realize a different word, different figure, but the truth is the same. There's only one entrance into life. When Jesus said, I am the way, and when he says, I am the door, he's saying, I'm the only way in, and I'm the only way that will take you there. And similarly, when we come to this fifth chapter of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking still of people who are saved the only way that people ever could be saved. That's why at the end of chapter 7, he speaks of those who hear and who obey him. In other words, you become a subject of the kingdom by the obedience of faith. How do you become a subject of the kingdom of Christ? By trust in Christ. Hear and obey. That's the obedience of faith. And when you come to Christ in faith and trust, then you enter into the kingdom. These Beatitudes may be taken as a sort of a spiritual biography. I'm not going to do that because if you have a very elephantine memory, you'll remember that when we studied the Beatitudes, that's how I dealt with them, as a biography of a believer. But they may also be taken quite simply as a description of the graces of true Christian character. I've said Christians are happy, but listen, they're also poor in spirit. The idea of poor in spirit is that all self-confidence is destroyed. All self-righteousness is removed. They are poor in spirit. The Bible knows nothing of this iniquitous, humanistic, self-esteem movement. This beating your own chest, what a wonderful good boy am I. The Bible knows nothing about that. That is a wicked parody of the doctrine of justification by grace through faith in Christ. You can think that one out for yourself. It's a wicked parody of it. It's the devil's counterfeit. Christians are poor in spirit. They mourn. Why on earth would they mourn? And where's the happiness in mourning? Indeed, where's the happiness in having no self-esteem? I'll tell you where the happiness of having no self-esteem is. Because the more I see myself as a sinner, the more I see Christ as a Savior. And the more I see the perfection of Christ and the imputation of His righteousness to me and how He clothes me with the garments of salvation and with the robe of righteousness and decks me as a priest would deck out in all the robes of His glory. The more I see that, then the more I realize I'm accepted by God, not partially but totally, not conditionally but absolutely, not temporally but eternally, because I don't need some esteem in myself when I have
Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Man, that's true blessedness. You don't need to dream up that you're better than you are. You just got to see what you are in Christ. And oh, the man or the woman who can understand what they are in Christ has the key to happiness. Where's the happiness in mourning? Well, there's good cause to weep as well as to rejoice. If you turn back to the prophecy of Isaiah, you'll find there's a weeping for Zion. Chapter 57, verse 18. For example, here's the promise of restoration. I've seen his ways. I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Turn over in Isaiah to chapter 66 and in verse 10. I remember preaching in this some years ago in this pulpit. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy, all ye that mourn for her. There's a whole lot to be happy about. But you know, when you look at the Church of Christ today, there's a whole lot to mourn about. When you look in your own heart, there's a whole lot to mourn about. We may mourn for Zion. We may mourn for her apostasy. We may mourn how the walls are torn down. We may mourn how the ungodly and the enemy have infiltrated the ranks of the people of God. We may mourn how her friends are deserting her in this day of great trouble and trial. We may mourn how those who profess to be true believers and true preachers are turning aside after harlotry and idolatry. We may mourn the apostasy of our day. I get sick listening to these preachers who are always tub-thumping and telling us what a wonderful revival we're having today. This is an age of crass and gross apostasy. That's what it is. On every hand, there's a end. I intend to deal with some of this in our Reformation Month services. The apostasy from the truth of the gospel that's taking place all around us, even on the part of so-called evangelicals. Dr. Paisley would rightly say, emphasis on the jelly. There's much cause to mourn. There's also cause to mourn our own spiritual powerlessness. Lack of power in prayer. The lack of power to move the hand of God. That's something to mourn about. And in the Free Church particularly, it's something to mourn about. It's something I cry to God about on a regular basis and mourn about. I have been in prayer meetings where we have seen God instantaneously give us the assurance of an answer, and we have seen miracles of power as God answered prayer. Where is the power of the prayer meeting? We mourn the loss of power in prayer. The loss of power in preaching. The loss of power in soul winning. The loss of power to put the fear of God in the enemies of truth. Cause to mourn. But it's a good thing to mourn. Because God says, I'll comfort her mourners. Don't we often sing, O mourner in Zion? How blessed art thou, for Jesus is waiting to comfort thee now. Fear not to rely on the word of thy God. Step out on his promise. Get under the blood. God comforts the mourners. It's a characteristic of the subjects of the kingdom. You can't help but mourn. And you see the rebellion against the king and his kingdom all around us today. You've been listening.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.